Anderson.
And I'm Bill McKenna.
And together, we created the Cogno Movement System. And we'd like to welcome you to the New Life Perspectives Radio Show,
where we're going to be sharing with you tools, tips, and ideas that are going to change your life.
Okay, in 5, 4. Hello, hello, in UK Health Radio Land. I am Liz Larson, and I'm here with my friend,
Bill McKenna.
Hey, Bill McKenna. And we just happen to be the team that hosts the New Life Perspectives radio show and who created the Cogno Movement System. And we're super excited today because we have a legend with us in our industry of really creating change in the body and the brain. We have Dawson Church. Welcome, Dawson.
Liz, it's a joy to be with you, and Bill, good to see you here too. It's just a pleasure to be sharing today.
Oh my gosh, you know, we're just so honored to have you, and we're so excited to hear about you. Would you share with the audience who may not know you, tell us who you are and what you're doing on the planet to create change?
Well, change starts with each of us, and it starts with our inner state, and change comes from the inside out. And so what I do to create change is I breathe, not hard, and I meditate. Every day I meditate in the morning, and that really centers me. I talk in my books, like in Mind to Matter, I talk about the whole transition from your local reality, your local self, the life you know, in your local sense, and then shifting into an awareness of non-local self. And so we see when people meditate that they lose the stickiness of local life, and they are able to merge with the all that is, and then have that non-local experience. So the first thing I do is do that every day. And then that gives you a number of resources. The big one is resilience. It gives you a much better ability to cope with all the ups and downs of local life. And it also gives you creativity. It gives you problem-solving ability. There's one study done by DARPA, an agency of the US government, that showed that if you enter the kinds of brain states that this produces, that your ability to solve complicated problems, not 1 + 1 = but, you know, go solve global warming. That if you enter these states, that your ability to solve complex problems goes up 500%. So you are a much more effective person now in the world if you do that. So the first thing I do every morning to make change is to shift my internal reality, and I orient to non-local reality. And of course, you do that, and then you're one with the universe, and there's infinite love and joy and inspiration and well-being there. And you then start your day from that perspective. And then what you do is very different. So you've now anchored yourself in being. The doing that being does is very different. And you look for ways of making a difference in the world around you. You ask, how can I alleviate the suffering of other people? What can I do to really move the needle? And in my case, I do charitable work. I do research. I've been involved in over 100 scientific studies. And I also do training. I train people in EFT, acupressure tapping, in meditation, in other forms of stress reduction and attaining these states. And so I go out there and I do stuff, but it's all anchored in that being state. So to me, the way to create change is to anchor yourself, center yourself there every single day. And then you're in non-local, you then move into local reality. And what you do from that state is very, very different. So that's my answer to that question of how you make change in the world is you start by entering that space of peace and connection with the all that is every day.
So Dawson, you know, first of all, I want to just say, you know, I didn't realize before I got on the call how much I like you. I was like, no, Dawson, you know, he's on the show. But I got on the phone, and I'll tell you what, he permeates this, like, you just like, I love this guy. I love this man. You know, it's like, you feel such a nice, positive feeling. I know I can feel it out of Liz too. And so there's more that's going on with this in this this state. You know, you're emanating it, and it's palpable. But my question is, Dawson, how'd you get here? I mean, and what I mean, what is there was a life before this? I don't think you actually did this all your life, right? Where did you start? What happened to you? You have an accent. You're not from here in California. This is a global show, by the way. So people all over the world are probably like, what do you mean not from here? So we're from California, but tell us about your life. How did you get here?
Well, I was born in South Africa. My parents were missionaries, and so we cycled back and forth between the UK, South Africa, other parts of Africa, and the US. And so I got exposed to a lot of different cultures growing up, but it was a pretty chaotic childhood. And so I wound up, when I was in my early teenage years, 13, 14 years old, really depressed, really having just toxic levels of stress and anxiety, and pretty much a dysfunctional human being. And so I knew I needed to fix myself. When I first went to spirituality, I joined a spiritual community when I was 15 years old. I spent many, many years, probably another 15, 20 years, loosely associated with it, doing a lot of meditation, doing a lot of study of what Aldous Huxley called the perennial philosophy. So you read Alan Watts, and he has a lot to say about this, and also read all the great masters. And so I was exposed to all of these ideas at 13, 14, 15 years old. And I was trying to essentially be a happier person, because most people I knew were, I mean, there's an old saying that most men lead lives of quiet desperation. And I found that that actually was not true. Most women lead lives of quiet desperation as well. And so all the people I knew were just these depressed, miserable human beings bumping through life. And I knew that there had to be a better way. So I sorted through spirituality initially. After spirituality didn't produce much change, I tried psychology. And for many, many years, I've been involved in the personal and transformational growth movements. And then my life really shifted at 45. That's more than 20 years ago, when I just made the decision I was going to meditate every single day. And I talk in my book, Bliss Brain, about the crises that were going on in my life when I was 45 years old, and all kinds of things fell apart. But I made that critical decision to meditate every single day without fail. And I then, within a few months, was exposed to energy therapies, EMDR, EFT, acupressure, energy psychology, all of those wonderful stress reduction techniques. And very, very quickly, things began to shift for me. I retrained myself in science, and I began to do research. I also began to do charitable work to bring these techniques to people who were suffering. And that launched me on a whole new career in publishing, in online courses, in virtual events. And so ever since then, I've been focused on this, but I'm intrigued by science, because it allows us to quantify what's changing for people. I don't want to know if you're happier. I want to know what percent happier you are. You know, are you 14% happier? Are you 25% happier? And what we're finding now in the science that both I and my colleagues and people I know are doing, we're finding that when you do this, when you meditate, and when you orient yourself to the all it is, and when you tap and you shift your energy system in your body, because tapping is working with the acupuncture meridians, we know it starts to produce changes in your brain the very first time you do it. We know from other research I've done that do it for 30 days, only a month, and it starts to produce anatomical changes in your brain, marked anatomical changes. You're changing the anatomy of your brain. You're dialing down the stress systems in the brain. You're dialing up all of the pro-social emotions, compassion, gratitude, joy, awe, A-W-E. All of these things are starting to increase in your life. So I've been doing this myself now for many, many years. And when I did that, all my PTSD symptoms disappeared very quickly. I began to be, first of all, a happy person. And then when I began to get into advanced techniques from this part of Hinduism called Vedanta, or non-dualism, I went from being merely happy to being amazingly happy. And then I had a critical event in 2017 when I was involved in one of the big wildfires in California. And my wife woke me up at 12:45 a.m. I looked out the window. There was a glow on the horizon. I walked outside. There was a wildfire sweeping toward our neighborhood. And we literally grabbed the car keys, sprinted for the car, and it drove out as the trees were exploding in flames. And we lost absolutely everything. We lost every single possession we owned just in a few moments there. We got to safety, just barely got to safety. Many of our neighbors died. Many people died in the fire. 5,000 homes were destroyed in just a few hours. So it was a shattering event. And yet, as I would meditate every day after the fire, I also got really great psychotherapy, got great treatment, trauma treatment from friends of mine. But I meditated every day, and in the next year, I wrote a book. And I wrote this new book, Bliss Brain, because I couldn't figure out how I could be so happy. It's like, you've just lost everything. Are you nuts? I mean, I lost all my retirement savings. Our business evaporated. Everything just totally crashed financially, personally. And we had literally nothing except that car we drove out of the flames. And they had to gradually rebuild. And to say it was a difficult year would be putting it mildly. And lost all my retirement savings. We were heavily in debt. I mean, it was just objectively a nightmare year. And I would sit there in meditation and I would breathe, Bill, and I'd attune to the all that is, and I would be in absolute ecstasy, not just happy, but absolutely bliss stoned out of my mind happy. So I began to look at the science of this and look at chemicals like neurochemicals, like anandamide, the bliss molecule, and serotonin and dopamine, and what they do in the brain. And it turns out you can have an enormous effect on all of these things by meditation and by tapping. So that really catalyzed me teaching and explaining how it's not dependent on everything being okay outside of your life for you to feel good inside. You can feel amazing inside when you've literally lost everything. And that's where I'm coming from today, is training people to acquire these elevated spiritual, mental, and emotional states. So that was the big catalyst in my life back then.
Wow. Well, what I want to, I have got some questions for you right after our break that I want to hear more about what happened next. All right. UK Health Radio, take it away.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
All right. So Dawson, 2017, literally burnt to the ground. It sounds like it was your entire life systemic, but yet you utilized these techniques to put yourself into a whole different state. Now, the question that I have for you is, because the principles, right? The principles that are the supposed universal principles are that you can't really find yourself in these states and also at the same time be, you know, suffering financially and suffering, you know, in all of these other ways. My question is, did everything reconstitute? Did it all come back And or did it continue at that same level, or did your life blossom? What happened?
There were about two very difficult years after the fire, and I had a health problem. I'd have an operation, and I was struggling. I mean, we couldn't meet payroll, and so in the company, so I was having to draw down my retirement savings to pay members of my team. So it was two difficult years on the outer level, and yet I would just have this attunement every day to the all that is, to non-local. And when you think about, you know, for example, these studies of Franciscan nuns and Tibetan monks who are entering these elevated emotional and mental states, they're out there and they're utterly blissful, and they have nothing. They don't even own the cassock on their back. They don't own the cot they sleep on. They don't own anything at all, and yet they're wildly happy. When we look at their the amount of gamma, which is the highest brainwave and which is associated with joy, with compassion, with that sense of inner peace, they can within seconds generate seven times the gamma of the average person. They aren't just happy, they're seven times as happy as the average person. They're in these extraordinary states and they have nothing. So it really teaches you that it doesn't depend on external circumstances, that you can generate these things inside just by the quality of your consciousness. Like there's a gene, I've done a lot of research on cortisol, our main stress hormone. And when we're stressed, our bodies make more cortisol, which is perfectly appropriate if you're being chased by a tiger. But think about it, Liz, when was the last time you were chased by a tiger? And yet most of us can't remember the last time we were chased by a tiger. In fact, we've never been chased by a tiger. And we're making a lot of cortisol every day, purely with our consciousness. So you can be making all these stress neurochemicals with your consciousness, and you can be turning genes on. The last gene in the chain that makes cortisol is called CYP11B1. And when you have a stressful thought, you dial up the activity. Epigenetically, you engineer your body making more cortisol by increasing the activity of CYP11B1. And so when you then tap and meditate and fill your mind with positive thoughts, you then reduce that gene activity. So that's the critical thing we need to teach ourselves to do. We all have adversity, we all have problems, it's inevitable, it's part of life. And we need to learn to regulate our stress. When we do, in my book, Bliss Brain, I have an example of a guy who went on an 8-week meditation course, but before that he went into a university lab and had a comprehensive workup, including anatomical MRIs that measure the volume of each part of your brain. He then went back to the lab after learning meditation and being mindful for 8 weeks, and several parts of his brain had grown by 2 or 3 or 4% in only 8 weeks. One part of his brain, it's a little chunk of tissue in the center of the brain that regulates negative emotion. It regulates anger, regulates resentment, regulates blame, shame, all those emotions. That piece of, by working out his mindfulness, his compassion for 2 months, that sliver of tissue regulating negative emotion had grown by 22.8%.
Wow.
That's how quickly neural plasticity works when we attune ourselves to these states. So that's what you want to do. Be a resilient person, and then you are able to deal with all the crises in the world. There's always going to be crises in the world. You'll always have stuff going on in your life that isn't working out too well as stuff that is. And so if you have that ability to regulate negative emotion, you have the foundation for a happy life.
Incredible. I think that most people don't consider the sizes of the parts of their brain when they're talking about stress or happiness, right? That there's actually physical changes that happen within the body and the neurology that then create new patterns. It sets you up to be happier. It's like something that builds on top of itself. So it's not just about the emotion of happy. It's about the physiology of happy.
Absolutely. Physiology and psychology actually determines your physiology. If you have that positive psychology, that positive outlook on life, regulate your stress, you're literally changing gene expression in your body. In one study, an hour of that one technique I teach, EFT, acupressure tapping, where you're tapping on acupressure points on your body, 1 hour of that dialed up the expression of 72 genes compared to an hour earlier. An hour of that dialed up 72 genes. What those genes do is amazing. Some of those genes are genes that suppress throat cancer, prostate cancer, colorectal cancer, genes that help protect your skin from the sun's ultraviolet radiation, genes that enhance fertility, genes that boost cell metabolism, so your cell metabolism and cell communication works better, genes that actually help your nerve cells in your brain conduct signals better. 72 genes like that upregulated by 1 hour of this. So your thoughts and your disposition, your emotions are producing remarkable changes in your body, and it's all under your control. You can just choose to reduce your stress with EFT, meditate to feel great, tune into the universe, and suddenly, not only are you feeling much better, you're having this massive cascade of effects in your physical body.
It's true. And you were talking about cortisol earlier. We know that when the cortisol is decreased in your physical body, that fight or flight, that lion on your butt, actually it's decreased in your field as well. And the people around you are not signaled by your cortisol spiking out of the planet and announcing that there's a lion somewhere in the room when there really isn't. So we've seen this effect really just ripple throughout families and workplaces. When one person creates this change neurologically, chemically, and electrically in their own body, changing these cascades of hormones, electricity, chemicals, like you're saying, it really affects everyone. Have you seen that same effect with people doing EFT, changing the people around them as well?
Yeah, I'm so intrigued by this that I have a whole chapter on this in my book, Mind to Matter. And that's a book on the science of how our brains actually literally create material reality. We literally have thoughts, we have concepts, we have beliefs, we have worldviews, and they literally translate themselves into the world around us. And every single chain of scientific evidence is there from thought to thing. And so that chapter two of Mind to Matter. And chapter two is all about what we call emotional contagion. Just like the coronavirus is contagious, just like the flu is contagious, just like certain diseases are contagious, emotions are contagious and they ripple through people. And like a big example of negative emotional contagion was the Nuremberg rallies, where Adolf Hitler had over 100,000 people just jumping up and down and saluting and saying, Sieg Heil, this mass hypnosis of the German population. But we've had it here too. I saw that when we were going to war with Iraq, this totally pointless war that we got into in the early 20th century. And this was like mass hypnosis going on where people were going along with this negative emotional contagion. Iraq has weapons of mass destruction. They're going to get us. I mean, this was a powerless tin pot dictator and posed no threat to us whatsoever. And we whipped ourselves up in such a frenzy that we started a war which wound up costing us $4 trillion and the lives of huge numbers of civilians, Iraqi and American and other nationalities. So we have these moments of mass emotional contagion. But we also have good emotional contagion. And that is when somebody smiles at you. It's a wonderful story I have in one of my books of a man who had a troubled history and had finally decided to commit suicide. And he was going to do it by jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. And he parked his car in the parking lot. He was walking to the bridge, but he had to cross a pedestrian crosswalk and the light was against him. So he had to wait there. And there were cars waiting there as well. And while this man in the depths of his suicidal despair was standing there waiting for the light to turn, a woman in the nearest car, the driver, just looked at him and smiled. And she had such love and compassion and sweetness on her face. He literally turned around and walked back. That's the contagious power of emotion. You have no idea how much your smile, how much your love is going to affect people around you. So I just basically walk through the world smiling like crazy. And you know what? Everyone smiles around me. And then I think, wow, geez, I'm on this planet where everyone's happy.
This recent situation that happened has created something wonderful too, where you have more and more people who are saying, I turned off the news. Yeah. I just couldn't take it anymore. And they've turned their attention to things exactly like you're talking about, and like we talk about, to, you know, turning off that fight or flight response, changing the nervous system, or just focusing on something else. People have started gardening again. So many people who wanted to do artwork started doing artwork again, right? So the simple click off of something that's making us, constantly in fight or flight, and putting our focus on something else entirely, things that bring joy and happiness to the body. So like you said, there is, you know, the mass psychosis and hypnosis, and there's another side of that that's happening too. Have you noticed people being more and more interested in the work that you do as well over the last couple of years?
Definitely. And we try and measure the number of people who are using EFT and doing meditation. And meditation is the easier one to track, because the US CDC, Center for Disease Control, actually measures the number of people meditating in the US, and most European countries have similar measurements. And so in my book, Bliss Brain, I have a chapter called The 1%. And in 1980, about 1% of Americans, 1 in 100, was meditating. Now, I went back in history to try and figure out how many people were meditating back along the road. And based on records going back to the Middle Ages in India and China, but also in Germany and France and England, like William the Conqueror kept it called the Domesday Book in 1100. And he recorded the number of people who were in monasteries or in monastic pursuits or in some way interested in a spiritual life. And it was 1%. In Germany, it was 1%. France was 1%. China was 1%. India was 1%. Virtually every country from which we have data, there's always been about 1% of the people who were involved in spiritual pursuits. So that's been the baseline for as far back as we can trace, around 1,000 years. But by 2004, it had quadrupled to 4% of the population meditating. So it went from 1% for at least 500 years, maybe a lot longer. Suddenly, we see a rise in 20 years to 4%. Today, 14%, according to CDC numbers. Wow. So there is a massive increase in people shifting their consciousness. And you use the word focus, focusing your attention on the news or focusing it on something else. And that's entirely up to you. You and only you decide where you'll focus. Is there stuff that sucks? Absolutely. Is there stuff that's going to drive you to absolute dancing paroxysms of bliss? Absolutely. Which one will you focus on? And if all you focus on is the bad stuff, then you're filling your consciousness, this precious gift you have of awareness, you're filling it with all that negativity, but it's your choice. You can shift your focus and then just go and find the sweetness, the beauty, the love, the magic in life. There's an old poem from the 18th century. I forget who the poet was. He said, two men look out through the same bars. One sees mud and one sees stars. Where are you going to focus?
That's a really, really, really good one. Speaking of shifting focus, I want to ask you something before the break. Hopefully I have a little bit of time. You have teams that go out and actually help during tragedy, don't you? I think the first time I heard about it might've been Katrina. Is that accurate? Or
yes. Yeah, we've had volunteer teams go to U.S. disasters like Hurricane Katrina, and we've also had teams at school shootings like Newtown, Connecticut, and now we're putting together volunteers to go to Uvalde, Texas as well, and we work with people who've been traumatized. I mean, these kids are unbelievably traumatized. The whole community is traumatized, and so we've developed ways of working with them, and one of the most horrific events was the Rwandan genocide in 1994, where about a million people were literally hacked to death with machetes, and many of them were killed in front of their children. And so these children were then, in this very poor country, parked in orphanages after the war was over. And these kids then just stayed there, and they were having flashbacks and nightmares. We've had several volunteer teams now go and tap, do EFT with those children. And we have data on the results. And the data is absolutely stunning. And so, yeah, we have teams going to disasters, both human-caused and natural disasters, both in the U.S., a lot of work in South America, work in Palestine and Israel, work in Central America. And there's a lot of volunteer work going on here because, you know, a lot of these areas, there's no access to things like really good medical care. The best thing you can possibly do is reduce your stress, reduce your cortisol, reduce that fight or flight response that dramatically shortens your life. So we can tap with people. We can show them energy techniques, breath techniques, yoga techniques, movement techniques. And there's a huge amount of this going on in disaster zones all over the world.
Wow. I mean, what a service to humanity. You talk about ripple effect as well. You know, each of those children or people who no longer have that trauma running in their body night and day, night and day, those people are going to do different things on the planet than they would have if their body was constantly running a pattern of trauma. So the ripple effect for that is absolutely global. All right, so we have to take a quick break to hear from the good folks at the UK Health Radio. After that, Dawson has said that he would offer everyone a stress technique that they can use. So we'll get that in sooner than later. All right. UK Health Radio, take it away.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with ZeroZilchZip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit ZeroZilchZip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
All right, so we're back. Normally we do this at the very end of the show, and I just want to make sure that we're able to get this in and that we create a little extra time for it. So would you be willing, Dawson, to offer that, what a stress technique that people can use right now? And is it something that they use, you know, in a critical moment? Is it something they use daily? Would you tell us about it first a little?
Yeah, both and. So you want to have so the reason for meditation is meditation sets a baseline of well-being to your day. You want to meditate first thing in the morning and then had that be your orientation to the day. So that's why meditation is the first thing that you do. But then you get to work or you're with your family or there are events that happen and then they disturb you, they're emotionally disturbing. So what do you do at noon or 2 p.m. when your inner peace has been disturbed? And that's when you use tapping, when you use one of the other techniques. And I'll show you a really quick one here that you can use that doesn't take long to do. And I want you to measure the effects. And so Liz and Bill, I want you to actually do this for real and use real numbers. So think back on the last 2 weeks, only the last 2 weeks, not any further back than that, 2 weeks, about an annoying event that happened. And the event should be fairly brief. Don't pick something that was like 3 days long, pick something that was a few minutes long, or pick if it was 3 days long, pick the most intense 5 minutes of it or 3 minutes of it. So I can tell, Liz, the moment I said that, you had one. Don't tell me what it is. I don't need to know. Like, we're working with traumatized people who don't want to talk about the earthquake or the shooting. So we just do this silently with people. If you think of this thing from the last 2 weeks, now give it a score from 0 to 10, with 10 being the maximum emotional distress and 0 being no emotional distress. And then give it a title. So if it was a little movie, what would the title of the movie be? It might be The Fender Bender, it might be The Long Waited Line, it might be Going to the Bank, whatever the title is, just think of the title. So you have a title and a number, and tune into your body and see where you feel it in your body. Is it in your shoulders or neck or head or chest or gut or knees? Where is it in your body? And since you are both somatically oriented people, you will be able to do that. So you've got your body location, your number, and the title of your event. So now, thinking about the event, just cross your hands over your arms like this, like you're giving yourself a hug, and stroke your arms back and forth. This is a technique we use for some of those traumatized children. It's called the butterfly hug. It's part of the field of energy psychology. It calms the stress response in the brain. And then breathe. Breathe and really focus on that negative event. Think about what you heard, tasted, touched, saw, felt, all the sensory channels. And tune into your body while you're stroking yourself. Feel that body location. Feel your breath. Really tune in to that physical sensation in your body while you stroke yourself. And also a little bit of tapping. So just tap. This is called bilateral tapping, alternate side tapping. You can also do homolateral, which is the same side. Either one works. So you're tapping now. And again, you can't see this, but it's sending tiny signals through your body's connective tissue. Thinking about the bad thing that happened, about the name of it, about the body sensation you feel. And then also tap in the center of your chest. This is your central meridian. And then tap between your eyes. This is your governing meridian in acupuncture. Feel your breath. Think about the troubling event. And then tap below your eyes. Below your pupil of your eye as well. Also tap right below your collarbone. This is your kidney meridian and your stomach meridian. Really tune into the event. Physical feeling, the name of the event, and then switch sides. So other eye, other side of your body. Feel your breath. Thinking about the event, all the sensory aspects of the event. Body sensation. And then hold your hands over your heart, just like this. And then there's a little exercise that will help generate slow brain waves and counteract fight or flight. So keep your head steady and just look up at the ceiling while you're keeping your head steady. Look down at the floor. Look all the way to the right. Look all the way to the left. And then look at the ceiling again and relax. And now think about the event, name of the event, body sensation. What's your number now? What's your score on that 0 to 10 scale? So just give me your actual number, 0 through 10, Liz. What were they before and after?
So mine was a 4, and it was this just little annoying moment between my husband and I. And we, you know, we get along great. I mean, the work, you know, Bill and I do helps with that a lot along the lines of what you do. But there was this little moment, like, I think I was hungry, you know, hangry. And it's just this moment of tension. And so it was about 4 when I touched into it. And it's cleared now. It's a 0.
Yeah. Not a 0. Good. Super. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good example of using EFT just in response to the stresses of the day. And I do it right after the stressor, so I'll go down quickly. And then, Bill, how was yours?
Mine was a 4, and it went down to about a 1.5. So it was very nice, very nice. It's almost done. I just need to probably bang it out just for a couple more minutes, and yep. It'll go away.
A little more, it'll go down. That's a pretty typical result. Numbers drop way down. But just imagine those Rwandan orphans where their parents were killed, and now they've been having flashbacks and nightmares for 15 years in the orphanage, going working with them. It works as well for traumatic events like that. At the Veterans Stress Project, we've now done tapping with over 22,000 veterans free of charge through our charitable work, and we've seen the numbers just go down like this over and over again. So it works for big stuff and it works for small stuff.
It's beautiful. And, you know, I want to thank you for leading everybody through this. And I want to encourage everyone to consider this. You know, not all of us have a genocide in our history or even maybe a massive trauma that's pestering us day in and day out. A lot of us do, but not everyone. I want to encourage everyone to actually do it on the minor irritations of the day. Mm-hmm. You don't have to put up with those either. And there are so many little things that can, you know, go wonky during the day. Why not clear it out? Why not feel better? So I'm going to encourage everyone to do that. And I know that Dawson has to go really soon. So I want to make sure that everyone knows where to find you. The first place is Amazon and the book Bliss Brain. And everybody get this book, read it. And when you do, would you do Bill and I a favor? Would you please review it? That really helps a lot. You may not know this, but if you review something on Amazon, if you love it, give it 5 stars. It really, really helps. So if you read it, give it a rating on Amazon.
And do this for Dawson. You know, God, what a human that is. Think about that. Rwanda, you know, all these horrible things, right? You just do him a proper and go and do a review for the guy. I mean, he's helping humanity in a big way, and we need to support him.
And where else can people find you, Dawson?
Well, the best way to find me is by downloading the free EFT tapping mini manual, and you can download that at tapping.gift.com. And the reason I wanted to go there is that we have discovered in some other research we've done that if you meditate in a certain way, that the number of immune marker molecules in your mucous membranes more than doubles. So we looked at this research, we've done primary research on this, these molecules, and they are protective against all kinds of viruses and bacteria. But there's a special meditation there that incorporates this research, and that's at tappinggift.com. So that's the best place to go.
Fantastic. So guys, we have to say goodbye to Dawson, but hold on, everybody, don't leave us. Bill and I have a little bit more for you. But for now, we just want to say thank you, Dawson. And it has been really a true joy sharing this conversation with you.
It's been a genuine pleasure.
Yes.
Bless you and bless your work. Thank you.
Thanks. Back at you.
Bye.
Well, I mean, that was a really fun conversation, wasn't it, Bill? What a lovely man.
What, you know what? I you run across people that are seem really genuine, and they emanate this positive vibration, positive feeling. I said it during the program, but it was like, oh my gosh, what a great guy. You know, you really enjoy him as a, yeah, you know, as a human.
So a nice
human. What a pleasure to have him on. And think about that. I mean, conceptually, going into the worst of the worst situations and helping the people that are affected by these things. I mean, you got to have some real mojo to do that.
So, yeah. Well, there's even logistics of setting all that up and all that's amazing, amazing work that they've done. And Bill and I really hope that we can get involved in that ourselves as well, helping out people that really need it. So speaking of which, we want to talk a little bit today about, we told you about a seminar that we have coming up in September called Cogno Conscious. And it kind of dovetails with the conversation that we're having today about these issues that kind of run in our nervous system, run in the body, sort of keeping us habitually down, right? I mean, and this is what we're going to be addressing in this seminar at the very beginning. You want to share with everybody about those first levels?
Okay, so what is this? What is this seminar about, and how does it all relate? Well, it turns out that all of us, you know, you were born here on the planet Earth, and then you had a bunch of events happen, right? All kinds of things, and there are so many things that happen in your life that stimulated anger, shame, guilt, grief, humiliation, fear, blame, worry, all of these different things. And what happens is they are like a knot, if you will, in your physical, neurological body. And that with that, you find limitation, all kinds of limitation or boundaries in your life. Imagine that you were in a state of love and bliss and creativity all your life, and you weren't afraid. You know, what would have happened? Well, you know, you say, gosh, that's not feasible. You don't realize who I'm surrounded with in my situation. Yeah, I get it. Well, what we do in the Cognoconscious seminar is with each and every one, we start at the bottom of the scale. There's something called a map of consciousness. And it, you know, it starts off at shame, guilt, grief, humiliation, anger, fear. It walks right up through acceptance, forgiveness, love, bliss, joy, enlightenment. So these stages, right, of understanding, what we do is we start at the bottom and we utilize the cognomovement tools, which have proven out to create like a complete obliteration of that from your nervous system. Imagine, I feel no shame for my life. I feel no guilt for my life. I feel no resentment. I feel no fear in my life. Now, as each one disappears, you have a new understanding, a new reality actually emerges. And that's what happens over, I think it's 4 or 5 days of this.
4 days this year. Yeah, four days.
4 days. And it is there is no other word than transformation.
Yeah, and I want to share with everybody might be thinking, well, how in the world and what does it have to do with conscious? Well, I know that you can feel it if you think about it, that those ideas of shame and fear and guilt, that they're heavy. And the truth is they have real mass. And those patterns, that's what Bill's describing, is just a pattern running in the body that just gobbles your available horsepower, your energy. It keeps your mind focused on these problems in life. You know, shame is at the bottom. It's the heaviest. And it just devours energy. And it keeps you from having those ideas, those genius level ideas. It keeps you from having real joy, but it's just a function of the size of that program, that pattern in your system. So when that is literally yanked out by the roots, deleted physiologically in your body, the mind changes. And now all of that energy comes flooding back in, and man, does that feel good. It's an incredible experience.
Yeah.
And people start to have new ways of thinking immediately. Those ideas start to flow. The lightness returns to the body. And now what we're talking about, why the consciousness is higher, why the awareness becomes higher, is immediately you have the energy to shift your focus permanently in reality. The energy goes to healing. It goes to this higher level of thinking. You are changed physically. So I think that's the biggest thing about this particular event is we are hitting every one of these up the Hawkins scale. And I think there are 16 or 18 up the map of awareness. And we work each one of them over these days and you get that energy back and back and back. And your nervous system is changed and your mind is transformed. And just like Dawson was talking about, we're changing the genetic code. We're changing people's history and we're certainly changing what's possible in the future. But I do want to say this is our biggest seminar of the year, and it's the hardest. It's not easy because it takes a lot of energy. You know, it takes a lot of doing. I mean, it's painless relatively, but you're doing and you're really looking at these things in your body, feeling them for a short period of time, and then watching them leave. And it takes a lot of energy to do, but the amount of energy you get back is it's just unbelievable. It's just really amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's transformative.
Yeah. So if this is something that sounds interesting to you, we know it's not for everybody. You really have to be at a place of ready to have yourself be different. You become a different human. You have to be ready. And if you're ready, we want you to come to cognomovement.com and get yourself prepared for this. You do need to come through our basic training to come to the seminar because we want you to know the basic idea of what we're doing, kind of get prepped. And then it's going to be in September. You can go to our events, check it out, check out the dates, check out lodging and all of that. San Diego's gorgeous that time of year. But we invite you, if you're up to this kind of a challenge, to show up, do the work, and not only change yourself, but change humanity in doing it. So that's our challenge. All right, Bill McKenna, we have used up all of our time. We will see you again next week. Thanks for being who you are and doing the work you're doing. And everybody in UK Health Radio Land, be safe and be well, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here with us on the New Life Perspective Radio Show. For more information or to find out more about the work that Bill and I do, please visit us at cognomovement.com or email us at info@cognomovement.com. See you again soon.